to the meeting of the Select Committee on Economic Development in the National Council of Provinces, where we will be dealing as part of the program set of agenda of the negotiating mandates for the infrastructure development program. Quite a full house. So, ladies and gentlemen, I want to welcome you to this meeting. We're going to do a short introduction to one another. I don't want to hear tomorrow that a reliable source or an informed source or an uninformed source has said this and that. So we want to put a name by the face and a face by the name. My name is Freddie Adams, permanent delegate from the Western Cape, and chairing this committee. Let me start with the beautiful lady there.
Good morning. I'm Vukiswa Rancho from
Morning,
honorable members and officials. My name is Veronica, Senin Gegezi, Northwest. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Elder Sandrin from the Eastern Cape.
Again, proceed, sir.
I'm Len Smith, Legal Resource Team.
I'm Andrew Smith, I'm with PNG.
Good morning, members. I'm
Robert.
I'm from Legal Services.
Good morning, members. I'm Gary Rowan. I'm the legal advisor.
Good morning, I'm Jenny Schwartz, DGDD.
Good morning, I'm Mr. Chief State Law Advisor.
Good morning, Mr. Bellin, Mr. Bessera, with the committee.
Good morning, I'm
Mr.
Bessera, sorry, we didn't get that.
Morning, I'm good to Mr. Shukunel of the Committee.
On my left to the back there. I don't know who's everybody in the room. Colleagues, we're going to start with the mandates. Eastern Cape.
The deliberation was the 17th of March. It is signed by Honorable Prakati, the chairperson of the committee, and the vote is in favor of the bill and the mandate, and mandates the Eastern Cape delegate to the NCOP to negotiate in favor of the bill. But it says vote in favor of the bill with the following amendments. The bill must use Sterkfontein Dam for fishery use. Sorry, I'm on the suicide man. It was not just a really continuing, and I'm really, I can't understand what the suicide feet, the Calcutta and Dump Feet as we do the Eastern Cape. My apologies. But the Eastern Cape was in favor also.
Thanks, Honorable Berlingen. I'd just like to say to you that we still got 9 kilometers to heaven. We solved the problems this year. not yet. Three states.
Thank you. The Federal Commission for Human Rights Committee of Government, Environment Affairs, Tourism and Health is needed by the Federal Special Board in favor of the bill with their amendments. The bill must itself contain terms of fisheries to create jobs for people. The Presidential Infrastructure Coordinating Commission must prioritize the infrastructure of the road and maintenance rails. The Presidential Infrastructure Committee should be extended to rural areas. The PICCC should ensure that the local infrastructure benefits local people. And the public support the members for all other purposes. Thanks.
Thank you, Free Speech. You know, these amendments, I think they're clearly recommendations because it doesn't put a clause or anything to it. And amendments we can only deal when it's a clause, a legal clause in the bill. We can then deal with the amendments in that regard. But as it is now, it is purely recommendations or it's something that the bill needs to address in the future. But this bill can't address Sterkfontein Dam to be official. This is an overarching administrative bill. We're here, but we'll give the department and the legal advice a chance later on to respond on all the provincial mandates of this. Gauteng, we are waiting for a mandate. The committee has met this morning and they are making copies, so they are sending it through to us. So we are in a very lenient mood today. So because Pirates has won, Kaiser Chiefs has lost, and Arsenal has won. So I'm in a very lenient mood to see that Pirates has lost, see that Pirates have won and Chiefs has lost. So that's the information I got from Mr. Sushuba. So I don't know if that is true. Adrian? The member of KZN can also introduce himself. I don't like to introduce that shaky young Hans will say it, Honorable Flamingen. So the young man can introduce himself. Thank you.
Sorry to move out, I just had to deal with matters of national importance. My name is Dumisang Shamete from KwaZulu-Natal. The committee had deliberations on Thursday, and I'm happy, and Chair, I was very happy because the DG was there during the briefing. He did an excellent briefing. So the committee votes in favor of KwaZulu-Natal, votes in favor.
Thank you, KwaZulu-Natal. Kumalanga, the Southern Delegate is briefing the province today on the Mineral Petroleum Resources Development Act, and so they've made an apology not to be yes, but let me read it to you. Infrastructure Development Bill, D49B 2030, the Petroleum Committee on Agriculture, Rural Development and Land Administration, Economic Development, Environment and Tourism, the committee supports the objects of the Infrastructure Development Bill, D49B 2030. There are no proposed amendments. The committee confers the permanent delegate representing the province of Mpumalanga and the National Council of Provinces mandate to negotiate in favor of the bill. Signed by Honorable R.C. Maslow Koko Jane. Am I right? Huh? Maslobo Kwan. Alright. That's a chair for them. That's in Mpumalanga. Northern Cape. Did I get it here? What's the problem? Alright. but it says that the legislator votes in favor of the bill. Infrastructure Development Law, B49B 2030. Now I know Gauteng is 1,800 kilometers away, but faxes and emails are much quicker and faster away if you have to. Progress?
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Name of the bill, Infrastructure Development Bill. Number of the bill, B49B 2013. Date of deliberation was done on the 12th of March. The date was signed by the Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Mulo Mutsidi, Chair of Economic Development, Environment, Conservation and Tourism. And I was happy chair because the Honorable MEC, Matalila Hosho, did attend together with her officials, and also officials from National attended the briefing. Northwest Province both in favor of the bill. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Northwest. Okay. Honorable Secretary, sorry.
I'm looking for this person to start the test. Thank you, Aranda.
Where's the tape? It's in the Bible this morning. Well, unfortunately, honorable members, the Western Cape Standing Committee of Finance, date of deliberation, 17 March 2014, on Finance and Economic Development reports that it confers on the Western Cape Permanent Delegate in the NDOP the authority. not to support, but I stay in Robben Island, so I'm not sure I'm from part of the Western Cape. In the NDOP, the authority not to support the bill with the attached concerns and amendments. So, colleagues, these are the amendments of the Western Cape. Colleagues, we're not going to do the concerns. We are only going to do the amendments, clause by clause, as it is. the department and the legal team, the concerns, we're not going to do the concerns. Only give us on what the amendments from the province. I see the lady from Gauteng has arrived. But empty-handed.
The chair is on its way because I can copy.
Ma'am, Christmas is on its way. And if we miss the 25th of December, we miss Christmas. So once we're done with the Western Cape, with the amendments and all that, the mandate is not here, then how then will not be counted into it. Thank you very much, Madam Zorba. Madam Nube, is that the surname?
No.
Oh, okay. All right. Madam Dossman, thank you. Let me hand over to the department. Eastern Cape, I got nothing. Christmas is also gone. The police aid, Patiji, the closest.
Thank you. We would agree in terms of the precepts issues that those in fact should be taken as the recommendations. There are other issues that are already covered in the bill in relation to the roads. Those with recommendations we believe are in fact already covered. The issues of infrastructure, road maintenance, insofar as it relates to SIPs, and I think for me, as an over-often comment on urban, on these the public hearings and the issues that have been raised, we need to re-emphasize that this bill deals with a strategic intervention package. It does not deal with all infrastructure across the entire country. So insofar as this deals with there is information for those with kids. It is already addressed in the bills. Equally, in terms of the rural areas, the SIPs themselves were designed to an evaluation and assessment mechanism that dealt specifically with the facial patterns of the demography of the country and of economic development within the country. So they are specifically designed in terms of those actual SIPs to address both urban and rural issues, to address both social development issues and economic development issues. So we would argue that point three is a change to and an integral part of the way that the PRTC functions. On the issue of local infrastructure benefiting local people, the important element there is the extent to which will enable the Minister to consent regulations or guidelines that the criteria for tech systems that enable then local food development or local job creation to be put into it. But the very essence of infrastructure in terms of where this originates from in the NGC is that economic infrastructure, strategic infrastructure should be an economic enabler, and there's no point in enabling if it's not going to be enabling the growth of community. So we believe that that is also an integral part of both the way in which the PRC is functioning and the way in which the bill is drafted. On the first one, we would agree that it would be inappropriate in a bill of this nature that is designed to put a framework in place for operational expediting and blocking to use an issue like the use of the dam, but we would suggest that this is an issue that should be referred either to the PRC or reference to the relevant department. So that would certainly be taken as a recommendation. Chairperson, on the Northwest, I think that the voters legislature is more of a safe, certainly in terms of skills development, given what the law enables in terms of skills development plans, skills development becomes an integral part of the SIPs, and the skills development building is obviously managed by other laws, not by this law, but given that an integral part of the work that the PRC is to develop a long-term skills plan, that interface between this law and skills development law would be involved. I don't think there's anything else that needs to raise from the Northwest. Because there's an end, there are not issues. It is a mandate in favour, and there were no issues that were raised that we would need to clarify. But the Eastern Cape is a mandate in favour, and no issues that we would need to clarify. That then gets us to the Western Cape. I checked this and would guide me because in the document which we received this morning as we arrived here, it's difficult to work out what is actually a specific amendment to a school and what is a comment. So your guidance as to how you're going to deal with the documentation. But I think perhaps an overarching point in relation to the Western Cape issues as I understand them. And for me, what is important is that the Western Cape-based presentation of the National Assembly, we have listened very carefully to the issues raised, and a lot of the amendments that were introduced by the Society in the National Assembly process were specifically designed to clarify issues where we felt that the way in which the bill had been worded could lead to misinterpretation. And I think that there still remain certain areas in which that misunderstanding remains in the written text submission. It is very important to understand that the approach that we've adopted in this law is not to include in this law every other piece of government policy.
I think I made an omission as part of the Western Cape. We had a long discussion at the when we went for the brief. PLO was there. The Department of Premier, the legal department of the Premier, has made a presentation to the National Assembly Petroleum Committee, They're concerned to address me, but they did not feel happy about it. So much so that the department of the MEC felt that the concerns were addressed adequately. They then wanted a separate meeting with the department to force the national department to put in certain clauses into the poll. We have then advised them that this is a Section 76 poll, so everything has to come through the province. But they did not have any specific to say that this clause should be that. And if you can look through the mandate, it is specific comments and recommendations. It does not say clause, it does say clause 1, but it does not say subsection 2 there, or section 2, that, and that. So, where it states, I think this covers that, where it states, I think, but in 3, it's, because also at the briefing, there was not consensus between the committee, the Department of the MEC, and the Department of the Premier. There was no consensus to this. So the Department of the Premier somehow or the other snapped through certain things. Because my information was that at the committee meeting, which they held afterwards, it was not, most of the things were not discussed. But like I said, I'm in a leading mood today. So we'll, no, hold on, I'm for the Western Cape. we will deal with the amendments. We'll deal with the Western Cape documents. And then we'll leave it to the other provinces to do the negotiating, to see if the Western Cape mandates can be negotiated and factored into. If not, in other provinces, the Western Cape loses the negotiations, and that's that. That's the reason of the negotiating mandate, is that we negotiate amongst the provinces to see, can that be factored in, can that not be factored in, can that be factored in, can that not be factored in. Can recommendations be taken? And all that. So DJ, I want you to deal with the specific clause recommendations or what they have done, but not with the other. And if there's no clause to it, let's not deal with it, because then that's not in the law, because the bill is all about clauses. Honorable Famine?
Chairperson, I want to talk about two things. And the one is, if we look at sustainable development under point number 10, for instance, and it talks about NEMA, then we all know it is clause 18, and it talks about the infrastructure bill. My second point is, what is the advocate that defends the Blade Runner? He's breaking down all witnesses at the moment. Now this is what you bring to the Western Cape statement, and I think it's unfair that you are riding roughly over the submission, which has taken ample time and has been done very well and should be given a fair chance to be debated in this committee. So let's just be fair to the Western Cape. Thank you.
Honorable Lingan, like I said to you, I'm from the Western Cape. I was part of the meeting, but I don't think you were part of it. And we have discussed things at length. I've stayed for the whole briefing, and we've discussed it at length. We've discussed it with the department, with the legal people, with two sets of legal people from the Western Cape. So I think it's unfair of you to accuse us of running roughshod over the Western Cape. Which is not fair. And if they don't put it, because we've made it clear to them at the briefing that negotiating mandates of any mandate goes by clause in the bill, not by recommendations. We recommend that. It should be a clause. It should be long title, clause 18, NEMA, clause 18, and that. And if it's not written down here as clause 18, then I'm sorry, I'm not accepting that. I've informed the province and I've told them. And as a permanent delegate, which I've got the mandate from the Western Cape. I'm exercising that mandate from the Western Cape, not from the DA, from the Western Cape. So if you want to do it as a political, from a political party perspective, then I'm not going to entertain it. But I will entertain it from a provincial perspective.
DJ?
Thank you. I'm going to do my best to go through, and I would hope that the committee will advise me if I miss anything in the session. I'm going to talk to page reference number and paragraph number, and I hope that that will assist us. Oh,
I'm sure we must call in our bigger friends. Yes, that's what we've got. In principle, the mandate of the Western Cape it does not support it. It doesn't say it will support it if these things happen, 1, 2, 3, and 4. So what is the rationale behind certain
okay. Maybe this is from the
procedural advising just of Section 76, because I know if a province also doesn't support, we still have to entertain the process. And that's why we need to negotiate. Provinces need to negotiate each other. We need to say if KwaZulu-Natal says and the other provinces, 8 provinces says that we are not supporting Western Cape clause that, not supporting that, then we're not supporting that negotiation. Honourable, that's all.
You are in fact correct in what you have said. These terms are being negotiated in terms of the provisions provided by the provinces. It will only do justice in terms of our procedures and processes to consider these proposals that have been made.
Honourable Kamara, is that does that satisfy you, everyone? Okay, Honourable Fanya?
Chairperson, as it is Ali said, in terms of these proposals that have been made, she did not say specific clauses quoted or specific amendments to specific clauses. In other committees, in the NCLP, those matters of concern are being addressed as proposals and fitted into a clause. It's only this committee, and I take pride in what we do in this committee, but in other committees, it's not treated like that. So what is the legal aspect of it?
Honourable Fanlingen, we have, as the HOP, we have asked a law. We passed a law called the Mandating Procedures Act. We passed the law, the Mandating Procedures Act. Now, we can't go on proposals. That is not amendments. Amendments can only be done because the bill is closed. We can't put something in a bill that's not there. If we look at the bill, it is all clauses, so it should be read per clause. That's why whenever we pass the bill, we either pass it in full or we pass it clause by clause. But clause by clause is the correct way. And in terms of the Mandating Procedures Act, I think we are on the right path of doing it. What other committees do, that's their business, but we are doing it in terms of the Mandating Procedures Act. And the rules governs, the rules of the NCOP that governs us. Honourable Mugoni?
Thank you, Chair. I have two issues. The first one in terms of the proposed amendments, are they clause by clause? And I look at them, they are, as we want them to be, clause by clause. Or as we propose that when the amendment is made, must be referred to specific clause. Of which, when you look throughout the Western Cape submission, it is like that. But the gist of the matter, Jefferson, is that they say they don't support the deal. Now, my question is, what's the point of us entertaining the amendment if they still not could support the deal? Because they are managing, what you manage that they don't support the deal. Why should it entertain the amendment if they are not supporting the deal? That's my question, Jefferson.
Chairperson, give us the proposal. We'll deal with that. No, colleagues, I hear what you're saying. But, you know, we should be careful also because it's a provincial bill at the moment. It's we at the NCOP are dealing with. So I think for in fairness, because I also don't want us to be open up to challenge Advocate Rhoda, will I be correct in saying this? Let's entertain the clauses as we go around and provinces not in negotiate to say we're reporting that clause, we are not supporting that clause, and that type of thing. Because if we don't do it, they can challenge and say that they did not get a proper hearing, or they were not entertained to profit in that regard. Advocate Rhoda?
Thank you, Chairperson. I agree with you that even though the cover of the mandate, of the negotiating mandate of the Western Cape Rhodes, doesn't support the, if you read further into this mandate, it also says it doesn't support in its current form, which alludes to the fact that if we take into account and add the proposed recommendations, then they will support when it comes to the final mandate. So I think for the process of them, of evaluating the negotiating mandate, I think it would be better that we just go through the proposed recommendations and see if there are proposed amendments or just suggestions.
I want to give to Advocate Herman to... But on the thing,
if you look at the act which you have just quoted from, I would like to read you the definition of a negotiating mandate. Means the conferral of authority by a committee
designated
the parameters for negotiation. The parameters for.
Honorable Vingan, then we can set that parameter. And if I set that parameter, then I say that the Western Cape does not support a bill, so we go ahead. No. You set the parameters. I mean, Honorable Van Lingen. Honorable Van Lingen. I'm the representative for the province as well as you are a representative of the province. So, whatever the province decides, we have to carry out here. And in the absence of the province here, we as a representative of the province can then set that parameters. That's why we are deployed here by our provinces. We are deployed here by our provinces. Otherwise, the provinces, the NCOP should abolish if that is not the case. So if we set the parameters by our province, then I would say Western Cape does not support the bill, carry on. But like I said, the parameters are set that we go close by close, and which you don't seem unhappy about, which I don't think, to be honest with you, And I'm not nasty, but I don't think it's got a concern of another province, how another province wants to conduct the business. This is a negotiating mandate, close by close. If the other provinces feel that, for argument's sake, the low title should be a tattoo or close to, one should be a tattoo, we need to negotiate that. If provinces say no, they're not dealing with us, they're fine. After the DG has given us the explanation, we will then go back to the process and I will ask the other provinces, do we agree on this? And if they say yes, then we agree on it. If they say no, we don't agree on it. That's the parameter set out. And for 10 years, ma'am, we have been dealing with negotiating matters in this fashion. As long as I'm a chairperson. And we've never had comebacks. Never. It even went as far as the Constitutional Court. Thanks. Advocate Herman.
Chairperson, yes, I agree with what the procedure says about the procedure that must be followed in that this is mandate, negotiating mandate, and it would do justice if the committee considers the proposals made by the Cape and the committee can then decide whether they agree with the proposals or not. It's a different matter, and this how can I put it? I don't want to prescribe to the committee how it should do its work, but I feel the committee should first consider the proposals, and if there are questions, then the department could enlighten them to the committee. I can give advice on the drafting, but I think if in order for the chairperson perhaps that the members can, you can put paragraphs, you know, certain paragraphs and give the members just a minute to read it and discuss it, and if there are points of clarity or someone, we can respond. I don't know whether the issue might want to have something.
So look, I take your point, Advocate, but I think we've received the documents this morning from the province, and like I said, members had a chance of perusing. Part of our work is that we have to run to hit the ground running. So we want to kill two birds with one stone. We understand what the issues are all about, as we had the briefing from the department, and because the department had to give feedback to other provinces why and what is the reasons. But members, would you like to do the as the proposal from the state advisor, or should we proceed on our way?
Chairperson, I hear what the state law advisor is saying, but Chair, have you also considered the fact that this proposal looks like the whole bill? It's the rewriting of the whole bill. So it means if we go through all this, we will be rewriting the whole bill. To me, can we do it the correct way? I don't want to say our own way. Say the legal correct way of the committee, the way the committee used to do the amendment and the content, and not consider how the other committees are doing their things, because they are led by the law, not what the other committees are doing.
Honorable
for us to be here, I think we are mandated by our provinces. So, Chair, I would humbly request that we proceed, and I don't support that we go across that. I think.
Well, members, unfortunately, we have to take it close by, because the mandate comes close by close, so we have to take it close by close. It is just fairness, transparency and fairness, because the Red Ticket can turn around tomorrow and say that we weren't fair, they were not given a chance, it was not done close by close. So I think...
will it be the Western case that will say so, or will it be the DA?
Well, obviously they control the DA control, so it will be them. Let's do a compromise, DG, before you answer. Honourable members, clause 2C. Like I said, we are dealing with the clause by clause. And as the permanent delegate, I am going to do clause by clause, or clause 1, the definition. Start with clause 1, the definition. Oh, no, sorry, we have to start with the long title. The long title is also part of the clause. Long title is part of the clause. Am I correct? It's part of the long title, approval, given priority in. The long title, hang on, members can read this. I don't have to read. Provinces, do you agree with the long title? Please come in.
I'm not even having it fun to read to you or even absorb it. This thing was put in front of me at the beginning of the meeting. It was not given to us before the time.
But we only received it before the meeting. We only received it this morning, Honourable Prime Minister. as we could see, it was only signed also this morning.
Today, we all have just received this document. Yeah. If we need to go and read it and absorb this, it means we must be given 2 hours to go and do that. I think it's only fair if you can do it close by close so that we understand. As you are going through close by close, we will capture the close as if as you are reading it.
That is why I was saying that I don't suppose.
Okay.
Because I noticed that this document was signed today. And it's a big document for us to go close by close to the figures.
Let me do it this way. Let me allow the DG to run through the process with us and to say what will be the process so that when I ask you after the DG's feast, members, please read down and read while the DG is also briefing us on the process, so that we can then take an informed decision from the province. DG?
Thank you, and I will try to do justice to a document which I equally have received this morning, but perhaps with the knowledge of Bill, I'll be able to assist people. The first issue is the changing of the wording from approval to decision making. The concern that we would have is that the wording of planning, approval and implementation is very specific to a project plan roadmap, and decision making is a term that is so broad it could be decision making in relation to it. One does not want to end up in a situation in which one tries to incorporate into the goal things that are much broader than what we're dealing with. What we are talking about here is the planning, the approval processes and strategic implementation, the strategic integrated project and the implementation. So we would argue that the approval is correctly worded on that front. If we can move then to the issue of sustainable development, I think we've made this clear that the Minister's Cabinet at some length in the briefing of the City Committee, but equally since we should have put a brief in the public hearing from the National Assembly and in the post-City Committee processes. We do not believe we should be integrated into this goal concepts that are adequately and brilliantly defined in other goals. Sustainable development is embedded in NEMA. There is nothing in this goal that contradicts NEMA. In fact, we are so far as to say that in relation to environmental issues, compliance with NEMA should be taken on the board. So we are comfortable that this goal is located within the Constitution that talks to sustainable development, is located within NEMA that is the custodian of sustainable development. And we do not believe that good work is written by including every other policy issue into the book. So we've adopted a touch to the drafting, which NEMA means understanding that this is one law within an ambit of law. So that was our response on the sustainable development issue. And indeed that does relate to clause 18. But in the specific proposal in paragraph 13, it would not make logical sense to say that environmental importance should be added into the criteria by which infrastructure development is selected. The purpose of the goal is to take infrastructure that is socioeconomically important, but within an ambit of sustainable development. So we would not think that the recommendation in or the amendment proposed in paragraph 13 would be withdrawn. Moving on to
Honorable
Ngoni. I propose that you want to explain one clause or then we will take a decision on it. So you don't doubt issues.
The proposal is that as the DG is finished, the province must then indicate whether they support or not support. The DG has raised the issue on paragraph 30, on page 4, on the long title. Honorable Ngoni?
Yes,
Toronto.
Chair, at the DG and clarifies this, it is stated clearly what the bill stands for. And even for a layman on the street, he or she will be able to know what the bill is for. So this long title, I support the long title. If this sustainable development is not in contradiction with NEMA, if it is stated in the in this on number 7 here on sustainable development, I think that I agree with the DG also. What was the last thing? Number 15. I agree with the DG also on the last one.
Okay.
I think what the Western Cape is trying to do in talking about decision making is that they don't stop at the top. They want to go along with the whole process, the decision making process of approval. And I actually don't have a problem with it. But if you want to wrap it off at approval, I suppose it can be accepted. However, I'm very concerned about this whole, the outlook of this bill, in spite of what the Minister took time in explaining to me on the environmental issues and how it will be looked after, etc. You only have to go to Madupi to go and see what has happened there environmentally. So when they ask for environmental to be inserted, I don't think it is a problem. I think we should be inserting it, because my fear is that it will not be addressed if we don't put it in. And then we're sitting with situations where we've got derelict mines and damages to do afterwards, and then mitigating circumstances, and in fact we break down our natural assets that we should be leaving for our children, and which should be our legacy. So if we add it, it is one word that gives us that extra protection, and I think we should consider it.
Honourable Gamere.
Sir, as well as that, doing some support that I'm...
Against the amendment. The next one, DJ? Sorted out with the province, but there's two delegates of the Eastern Cape.
it was 80 seats, which is legal binding delegates to this committee. Then you guys go and sort it out.
Chairperson, this is a meeting where we negotiate on the terms within the parameters for the negotiating mandate. And it should not be a bulldozing session. We are here to see what is right for the bill and what is right for the country. And that is what we're looking at. We're not here in competition with one another. And I've been here for a whole year. In fact, a whole 5 years. So let's just get the matter straight.
Honourable Salingan, you know, you've been accusing us of all sorts of things this morning, and I've allowed you, but I don't take it kindly if you accuse us of bulldozing things. Seriously. And as long as you've been here for 5 years, we have all been here, and we all do what our provinces mandated us to do. Not what our parties mandated us to do, but our provinces. And to be honest with you, I don't take it kindly that you make accusations against the committee, and we should just be happy with it. Once we get from the Eastern Cape, we'll take it as is. Eastern Cape.
Chairperson, the mandate of the Eastern Cape says it delegates the NCOP, the delegate of the to the NCOP negotiates in favor of the bill without any amendments and any other concerns that the Eastern Cape has raised. The Eastern Cape chairperson went through the bill. The bill was presented in front of the Eastern Cape of Committee, and the bill was taken for public hearing, chairperson. And everybody in the public hearing, together with the committee and the people that were involved with this bill, they agreed on what the bill stands for. So I am talking on those behalf. Whatever I agree on or disagree on with the Western Cape, it's because the money says an Eastern Cape delegate. And I mean, I'm from Eastern Cape, I'm a delegate from Eastern Cape. I'm not misplaced in this moment.
Colleagues, you know what? I've been lenient this morning. But I've got the right information. Kaiser Chiefs has won, Pirate has lost. So my leniency has stopped. The law says within the parameter. Now the parameter, there's no definition regarding the parameter. The parameter is that the committee or myself, the chairperson, can take a decision binding by the majority of the committee. That's correct. Advocate Rhoda, that's correct. So colleagues, I want to make this decision. And please put it on record. I'm prepared to go to the Constitutional Court as well. We have read the bill. We have gone through the mandates. I want the DG to give us the answer of all the mandates. And, colleagues, the Western Cape has already said that they're voting against the bill unless we change the whole bill. That is, to take it into that context. That is to take it into that context. So I would then even say, I was trying to be fair, but still in fairness, and still in accommodation and in open transparency, I could also say that we have noted and we have accepted the Western Cape, not to change, and other provinces have voted in favor, so already other provinces have given us a clear indication that they don't want any other mandates or they don't want any other amendments to the bill and the process. There's the mandate there. It's all been there. So we're not going to do this in terms of party line because I can see where this is heading. So I would say, colleagues, that we DG just take us out the issues of importance. And like I said, we've still got the final mandates. And this, all the mandates must still go through, back to the provinces. Back to the provinces. And the other provinces can see what provinces have done. Because it reflects in our minutes. That will be sent to provinces now. So colleagues, the Western Cape has said that they are not voting in favor. And I think that we have accepted that. We'll move on to the other provinces. DG, we'll move on. I'm still within the parameters. And we have taken note of the Western Cape and we'll move on. All right, colleagues? Yes, Honorable Salinga?
Are we still going through the Western Cape mandate now?
Honorable Salinga, we try to do that. We have really tried to accommodate. But Mina, as a representative of the Western Cape, I mean, that briefed my province about it. I, has also briefed the province, its partners briefed the province. So, what I'm saying is that we have noted and taken into consideration the mandates of the Western Cape. Other provinces are not supporting it because they are supporting the bill without amendments. The Western Cape is the only one with amendments. Other provinces have made proposals to it. So, the DG is just gonna highlight the amendments. We're not gonna vote on that. And the Western Cape must then negotiate with the other provinces in terms of their amendments.
The DG is now gonna briefly go through the Western Cape.
I think in future, for those who are coming back, the staff must help us keep in the NSOP that things that have been dealt with in the NA, they don't come back raw as they are in the NSOP. So the DG just said all these things were written in the NA, and they're still coming back here. So in future, I think we need a better approach in dealing with this issue.
In actual fact, during our briefing, we have told the province, that they should give us a provincial mandate, not a national assembly mandate. We have told them that. And the chairperson and the committee agreed with me. They agreed with us. The PLO was there, Advocate Ibrahim was there, Sir Ibrahim, PLO, Sir Ibrahim. Yeah. Paul Benjamin was there. Advocate Benjamin was there. And we have specifically, and they have agreed. So it is quite shocking to see now on what they've agreed and what they've sent us now to deal with. It's total difference. Total difference. So colleagues, we have noted the Western Cape points on that. And I think if we make a ruling, we are setting off it. And we go to the next province, Limpopo. Limpopo? All right. Limpopo, Infrastructure Development Bill. The committee, having gone through the bill, recommends to the SOP permanent delegate to vote in favor of the bill, taking into consideration the amendment as stated in the attached report. Purpose of both. Insert the definition of integrated development plan. Definition and object of Act Clause 1. Director General.
Chairperson, thank you. We would not see any reason to include the integrated development plan in a definition. It is not referred to anywhere in the bill. And I think that it is a reflection of the fact that we still need to clarify that this deals with the strategic integrated project. It does not deal with all plans. So we would not see that as a caveat. We think it would be bad for us. Can I move to the other two, or do you want to deal with that one first? There's a proposal in relation to clause 8. In terms of the serving of development, inserting a new clause that strategic integrated projects should be included in integrated development plan of affected provinces and municipalities, that doesn't make sense. I think, though, that the intention behind it, if I'm reading it, is addressed in talk 8.4.8, which deals with that certain state need to ensure that in future planning or implementation of infrastructure or in future special planning and land use, there isn't a contradiction between the SIPs. And I think that's precisely where the alignment between SIPs and provincial and municipal planning processes take place. So that's on 4B. So we would not, suppose that we would say that it is covered by the tools 4H, 4AB, and C. On 4C of the mandate document, which reads to include a provision wherein provincial cluster planning structures could propose or have influence on the funding model for strategic integrated projects. There is nowhere in the document in which we address the issue of funding models. What we have explained, I hope teams that have not said enough, is that the funding of infrastructure remains firmly embedded within the modes of parliament. So the funding for any project within a SIP would be within either a national department vote or within a provincial government allocation. And so we do not think that it would be appropriate for this, because there is no different funding model that has been put in. It is the standard PFMA requirements through budget vote, the budget future budget vote, and the approved department. That's the funding of infrastructure projects itself. So those would be our responses on the three elements of the mandate. As a matter of interest, we were given €100 million for infrastructure development. And talking about funding models, that means it goes into the national PICT program and then gets distributed through that accordingly. It is just something that came up during this weekend, I think. And it makes it very interesting as to how we are going to handle such foreign money coming in. You know, $100 million for infrastructure development is a vast contribution that we should take note of in time.
DJ?
Thank you. And indeed, there was an announcement of that over the weekend. But again, there is no PFC funding vote. The donor money goes to Treasury. It is through Treasury that process is being managed. So Treasury in this particular instance has set up a SteerCom to be able to do this, but relevant departments that are involved with infrastructure will be on that SteerCom, and it will be a process that has been managed through, I think, in this instance, the DBSA. But it is very important for us to re-emphasize that there is nothing in this bill that changes the existing funding model. So that if a donor funding model exists in Treasury and it is managed in Treasury and it then as allocated features into votes of each relevant department as donor funding clearly visible in our annual reports as we go forward. Equally, money from the SIPs is allocated through the votes and again is held accountable in that process.
Thank you, DJ. That's some problem. And that was how to? Honorable Gamera, they said the signed copy is coming, but as I've said, Christmas is also coming, so Honorable Gamera?
I wanted to check whether we don't go through the process of accepting or not accepting this mandate, and I want to propose that we, and I know Honorable Nguni will support me, that we don't accept this mandate, this amendment.
From Limpopo. Okay. Well, the Limpopo delegate is not here because...
Is there anything that the art is interrupting me to
the party? Oh, that's what we were doing.
Yeah.
Singing
yeah.
For the Democratic Alliance and the Open Cape. Oh, okay. All right, because the rest... okay. Now we understand. On that basis also, then, that gives us another more reasonable basis to act within the parameters. Okay. Look, colleagues, we've got the in terms of the rules, the five provinces that supports without mandates, which is Eastern Cape. I can just put down to the record. Hmm? Eastern Gate. Says, sorry, Honorable Kling, and I didn't hear you. No, not a speech. Eastern Cape, vote in favor of the bill. Thank you. Free State,
we vote in favor of the bill.
KwaZulu Natal,
vote in favor.
Mpumalanga, vote in favor. Northern Cape, vote in favor. That's fine. Northwest.
In favor.
Okay. Thank you, Ma. That's six. Gauteng. So, Gauteng. Oh, not time yet. Six. All right. Kampoko. Vote in favor. To vote in favor of the bill. Western Cape, not in favor. Gauteng is not signed. So, how much we got now, Chris?
Seven. Yes.
Seven. All right. Oliver Cunningham?
You get a copy of the Gauteng document.
We did, but it's not signed. Let me just get to the clever people around the table. Can we get? All right. It's not valid because it's not. Have you got the signed copy, Honorable? Is the only way to Parliament? Call you, Honorable. Not yet. All right. So it's not valid, so it doesn't count. The Gauteng one doesn't count. Yeah, but the copy is supposed to be distributed. But I think they're still making copies of it. So. All right. Honourable members? Honourable Cunningham?
For posterity, do you really think that if the mandate, the deadline for mandate is on the 21st or today, like the 18th, and the documents are being discussed at the meeting, do you think really there's sufficient reasonable doubt that the committee and the legal representatives around the table did not have the time to apply our minds to any of the submissions made? I'm not talking about a straightforward submission that the Eastern Cape gave, but a complicated, even the Limpopo mandate that came through. I believe the Gauteng mandate is also a couple of pages long. So do you believe that we should have a mandate, or should we say the deadline should be the day before, so that we have at least the night before to be able to scrutinize the documents and apply our minds?
I hear what you say, Honorable Cunningham, but the provinces have applied their mind, which we are part of, as permanent delegates of the province. They are part of the provincial legislators. They nominate us to be here. So, if the province has by any chance, or the province has a technical fault or something, and they send it through, they give us a mandate. It's an order. It's an order that we were given. Go into that meeting, because as part of the provincial delegation, you in the NCOP apply your mind to what the provinces have done. So the province gives us that mandate to come into the meeting to say, I vote, because they confer the authority on the delegate to vote in favor or to vote against. So the delegate can't come and make, as delegates, we can't come and make our own decisions, but we want to make. We are bound by our provincial legislatures. So yes, in all fairness,
I don't want to discuss merits and demerits of things which we must discuss with our provinces. I would say permanent delegates should go back. No. Permanent delegates should finish answering you on the first question. Permanent delegates should go back to their provinces, and they should address their provinces to say, don't send the mandates from the day of the meeting. That's all we have to do. That's the answer. We should go back to our provinces and say, don't send a mandate on the day of the meeting. Because you are putting us into jeopardy, we can't apply our minds. That is a clear permanent damage. Your next question?
My next question is, we are getting mandates from the various provinces, and you know that we have actually done the negotiating mandate meetings in Pretoria. We've done them, and we were to decide what we are including in the mandate, in what is a feasible issue, what can be totally unconstitutional in a bill. So if the DG agrees, or the state law advisors agree, then we have the right to say that must be included in the bill. As a committee with a negotiating mandate. Because we can't just go and say to Honorable Nguni or to anybody else that is unconstitutional and we're not going to allow it. You understand what I'm saying? The purpose of the negotiating meeting is to look at all the negotiating mandates and then to decide whether it must go in or not, and whether that bill should be amended accordingly, and then go back to the provinces according to the mandate in front of us. Now, before you answer, I would like the legal people to say to me, Palin, you're wrong, and then I will accept it, but I don't think I'm wrong.
I'm undermining the process of the committee, so. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you do, you are. Negotiating mandates, Honorable Palin. The minutes and the other negotiating mandate are sent to each province. And when they do the deliberations for the final mandate, they look at it. But each province looks at the other provinces as well. And then they decide on, they're supportable, they have now seen what is happening there, so they're supportable, or they don't supportable. Then in the final mandate, because final mandate and then there's the voting mandate. So the final mandate will then say, we don't support the bill because of X, Y, Z that been taken into. Let me start with Ms. Ali. Okay.
Chairperson, I would agree with your comments.
Just for open and fairness, I'm going to give every legal advisor in this room the chance to respond. Advocate Lewis, sorry that didn't recognize you.
Thank you, Chair. Because you are correct, there's an opportunity for the committee members to obtain a final mandate in terms of Section 6 of the Act you referenced. So before it gets to the NCSC chamber itself, members still have the opportunity to go back, consider what has been said, and then come back with the final mandate. And that's it.
Advocate Rowe.
Thank you, Chairperson. I agree with my colleague that there is still a final mandate date which the committee can take into account the different input on the provinces.
Ever get smart?
Nothing bad, sir.
So, Honorable Falingan, you've lost that 5 minutes. Colleagues, Honorable Gamera?
I thought the chair would say Advocate Gamera.
senior counsel Gamera.
No, I remember. You know, my colleague here, just a few weeks back, he had to move out of the committee meeting to go and fetch a mandate from the Western Cape. Just a few weeks back, as proof that our provinces do have some challenges at a certain time. And she personally brought the mandate. We couldn't continue with the meeting. So we just have to bear with our provinces. You know, they don't sit at the same time. They're not all the next two parliaments. Some are very far in the Northern Cape. Thank you.
Even if they're next to parliament also, they don't do what they're supposed to do. Right next to parliament. Colleagues, legal services said this, but for nothing to say. DG?
that issue?
On the parking shops, like they call in Afrikaans rooftop. Oh, Gauteng has got the electronic version signs, which they have been printing. Is that it? Oh, is that the Gauteng? Yes. Kaiser Chiefs must lose every time, then I'm not so lenient.
We've got a Gauteng.
So members, those that's coming back, I want to urge you in future, if you come back to the NCOP, talk to your provincial amount. There's too much talking going on. Honourable members, those that come back to the NCOP, I want you to go and talk to your province. You know, I had a meeting with my provincial chairperson of the standing committee. Re-engage. As the permanent delegate, I engage with my province. Although we are not on the same political affiliation, but we engage. We talk. We've got the lines open. We even call each other over the phone. But when I come here, then I don't put on my cap, which I must wear all the time. It is there, but the provincial cap is here. The Western Cape cap is here. So I would urge you to please engage with your provinces and ask them not to send mandates an hour or during the meeting, because they expect us to do the work. They expect us to. I don't want to be paid for this. All I'm saying is that the provinces expect us to do the work, so you, me and you as permanent delegates, to go back to our provinces and ask them not to do it. I'm not going to do it on your behalf. You must go back to your own province and talk to them. Okay, Master Casey, and then Honorable Van Lingen, as your end was up.
No, thank you, sir. I was to say, there was regard that issue that you are saying that you must talk to our provinces. Provinces are not doing it deliberately so. At times, like my province, I'm from the rural area, and my province is also the rural area. At times, we don't have electricity power. When we try to fix, the power just disappears. So now I have to say that I don't support that issue, because at times they're not doing it deliberately. So I'll talk to my province, but at times they will be in time, at times they won't be in time, but we must not be suspended because of that.
Noted, Madam Kikese, Honorable Kikese. But like I said, colleagues, if a province decides to send a mandate and phone you to say, I'm sending you the mandate now, and 5 minutes before the meeting closed, then you must do what your province wants you to do. Because we are here on their discipline. Honorable Fanny?
Chairperson, thank you. I entirely agree with you. If we do not have a system going, and if we don't stick to our rules, then we do have a problem. Rule 240 of the NCOP says we have 6 weeks cycle to manage NCOP rules, NCOP Section 76 legislation. And in special circumstances, when it's not complicated, it can be reduced to 4 weeks. The infrastructure development falls in that parameter of 4 weeks.
I hear what
you
said.
So you are in the parameters of the 4 weeks. However, this is not necessarily an uncomplicated goal. And we must have sympathy with the provinces and their schedules, just like we have 12 rules to process in this week with negotiating mandates, and final mandate next week with appeality on the matter. It is tough on them too, because they still have to govern provinces, and that's the difference. That's why extra time is given.
So you've just answered your own question. You've answered your own question. You've answered your own concerns. Thank you for that, Honorable Fanny. For that progressiveness, thank you very much. So there's no outstanding clarity seeking, because you have answered it correctly. Hopping, The mandate of Gauteng is where's Gauteng? Colleagues, she joined another party. The Gauteng, all right, put that on record, please. The Gauteng government, no, put that on record. She left the DA as Honorable Ranto sent to put that on record. Gauteng provincial legislature support the principle and the detail of the bill with the proposed amendments to infrastructure development for standard Honorable Klinger. Now the recommendation is the committee supports the bill with the proposed on page 5 of the Gauteng all these documents. It is on clause 5, subsection 2. Why is the constitution not added and it should be added? Chile, take us through 1, 2, 3, 4.
On the 5.2, we do not believe that the constitution needs to be brought into the clause of the bill. Apart from the fact that 2.2 already does that explicitly, the constitution overarches all legislation and it is read as everything must comply with it. So that would be our response on 5.2. On 5.3b, we can't see the value add of amending the wording of it. It's the clause that relates to the provisions of the Expropriation Act, and it says that the Commission or at its request that the expropriation can be effected by the Commission or at its request by the Minister of Public Works or by such member as the Commission. So to change to other or is not something that would improve the draft in any way. 8.1, we do not believe that would be correct drafting. But the lawyers may want to indicate their response on that. We're comfortable with the commission made by those that designate and amend. And finally, the insertion of a new clause 3 on reporting to Parliament. This again was an issue that had been deliberated on in a National Assembly process. And I think that the minister had also referred to it in the briefing of the Select Committee. The Minister of Economic Development and the Minister who is responsible for the PICC secretary and the custodian of the bill is responsible for Parliament through the Constitution and can be required to report to Parliament in terms of the Constitution on any matter. Equally, any of the ministers that are now partially responsible for any of the projects within SIP have equally that same responsibility and in terms of the Constitution will be held accountable to Parliament. We do not feel that it is necessary for it to be
Unfortunately, we only have the cover page of the housing
man that was signed by, but it's sad. I agree with Advocate Max that with the May March explanation as well as with Gigi explaining to the committee chair.
You know, it's my first time sitting in a room with legal eagles or legal people, and they all agree with each other. Advocate Ali? Have you done it? All right. Okay. Yeah, no, it's a history, historical day to day. The legal people all agree with each other, DG. So yes, one sitting this side as well. Okay, members, Honorable Ranto, Honorable Nguni, you want to share with us, or is that offline? Is it offline? Oh, okay, no. You can have your offline discussions outside as Lisa would like me to say, not in my meeting. Members, anything from your side? Nothing. Hello, Senior Counsel Kamere.
Chair, the meeting for tomorrow is now at D454. D454. For tomorrow. 454.
College that then deals with the infrastructure development bill, the negotiating mandate. Please, the Honourable Fallingen.
Thank you, Chairperson. May I raise my concerns about the minerals and petroleum resources amendment bill that was introduced to the committee last Thursday with 35 minutes notice, when the secretary had sent out an email to contradicting that and calling the meeting off the day before.
Honorable Lingan, no. We are busy responding to you in writing, as you have written a letter to us. This meeting does not concern that. We are busy with the infrastructure development bill. I think you will get that response by today. This afternoon, in that, so I'm not entertaining this.
My party has officially asked me to table my letter to you in this meeting. I will do so. Thank you.
Colleagues, DG, and Advocate Smart, Advocate Rode, Advocate Lutz, and Advocate Ali, yep, since surrounded by advocates, I think I've got more advocates than Oscar Pretorius here around me. Thank you very much for any opportunity to keep me on the straight and narrow part, these advocates. Thank you very much, DG, and members as well. For that, now we are waiting for the final mandates, which will be dealt with next week, which we will be dealt with next week, colleagues. Colleagues, we've got a meeting scheduled for Thursday, the 20th of March. That is for the negotiating mandates on the Mineral Petroleum Resources Development Amendment Law. And again, as I said, or let me reiterate it, we are not taking political party views on this, provincial views. Section 76 is provincial views. So if the ANC wants to raise something, or the Democratic Alliance, or the EFF, no, they are not in parliament, eh? What's the Dach Party, or that wants to raise something, we are not entertaining political parties' views. It should be a view from your province. Honourable members, it's a Section 76 bill, the MPRDA, so your provinces should express a view on that. We'll be dealing with that on Thursday, 20th March, from 10 o'clock to 1 o'clock, and the final mandate is then on the 25th of the Infrastructure Development Bill. On our agenda next is the minutes. DG and all
The legal people, you are excused. Advocate Dauda, I see you are in such a hurry. You are excused. Thank you very much. Okay, remember, this was the minutes of the 25th of February, bringing the Department of Energy and the National Solar Water Program status update. Did you have a chance of reading it? Page 1, page 2, page 3, oh, Honorable Kese, then Honorable Ranto.
Thank you, Chair. On page 1, the spelling of my pen name is K-E-K-E-S-I, not K-E-S-I.
Okay, Honorable Ranto. You see, you are confusing us now. We are dealing with energy now. You're still on economic development. Page 4. Page 5. We're not picking up this topic again on the 4th of March. Did we pick it up again? So, if it's the committee adjourned at 13:30, full stop. Until Tuesday 4th March, that's not correct. Otherwise, we should have dealt with this. Honorable Senior Counsel Kameda.
I move for the adoption of the minutes.
Move for the second, right? Honorable Kakieti. Thank you. With the amendment of Kakieti and Kakieti, and with the amendment of 1300, and with 1330, and with the amendments of until Tuesday. Remember, there's no minutes of the 4th. Page 1. Page 2. Page 3.
for
there's the last paragraph from four closing remarks. We request the members of the ANC to remain behind. That was after the meeting was adjourned. That is part of the minutes. All right. Proposer? Honorable Kekesi propose? And Honorable Mguni seconds. Okay.
Sir.
Can you advocate, Gamet?
It shouldn't it be the same on the agenda that you don't include the 18th of March. Say you end the committee agenda 13 or so. As you said in the other minutes.
It should not be part of the minutes. Committee adjourned. Certain sense of time. Honorable Fallingham.
Chairperson, I tend to agree with you on that one, and I'd like to ask Mdini Zulu if that was the instruction by the committee section that they must noted as such, because it just seems strange now suddenly at the end that they raise a matter like that. And I agree with you in this particular case that you are correct. The other thing is, I would want to ask, where are the minutes of last Thursday afternoon?
For the meeting on Wednesday.
On Thursday.
Okay, Mguni. Nearly half the table was gone. Colleagues, did you send that? Colleagues, the legacy report has been sent to you. Honorable Faninga, the legacy report has been sent to you. We need your inputs on the legacy report so that we can adopt it next week on Tuesday, please. So, please, colleagues, give your inputs to the secretary so that we can adopt that report. Next week, Tuesday. So, you still got to week.
Honorable Kessie?
No, Chair. I was listening. On behalf of the committee, I apologize
for the minutes of last week.
Thank you. All right. You apologize for the minutes of... Yeah. No. You can only deal with what is on the agenda. All right, ma. Thank you very much. Members, the meeting stands adjourned. Thank you. Don't forget tomorrow's meeting. The meeting stands adjourned, so it's not part of the minutes. Don't forget tomorrow's meeting, please, at 10 o'clock. Okay. Thank you.
Are you Again, my other friend pulled up. We brought his meeting in the Sokrat place. As the wife of party, we were looking at it. You see? We come here with the Sokrat guy.
Influence the world. Good world. I go to the world. It's one. in Hatsunai, good to you. The only thing is Lotan. Again, the only thing is Lotan. And also the world spends time together. We are in a group of where they all they enjoy each other's company. They talk about the things that they are talking about. That's how Obama is. They go out in a time.
Thank you.
they won't go to me.
Thank you.
Kamu pak, saya ada yang perlu 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 perl Dat is een nieuwe school en dan zeg je ook dat van morgen.
Ja.
historie van toestemmen dat we sterk en net van het hier dat we niet hadden nu wat toestemmen. En zie je nog een verwerking.
Thank you.